So rule number one, no one comes up to me at the end of the service and says, didn't hear a word you said. Okay? So if you can't hear me, just shout, speak up or slow down or something like that. So, okay. All right. So could you repeat this prayer after me then? Dear Lord, please help Kevin to say something sensible. Amen. Okay. So a man comes out of a factory pushing a wheelbarrow, and he's got on it a small wooden crate, and a security guard stops him and says, what's in the crate? He says, it's just sawdust. It's what we get rid of at the end of the day, and I'm using it for a project at home. He looks in it and it's sawdust. He lets him go. Next day, the guy's back. He stops him again. This time he tips out the crate into the wheelbarrow and looks through, and it's just sawdust. He lets him go. Wednesday, he's back again with his barrow, and the security guard is getting agitated. Now, what's in it? It's just sawdust. Thursday's exactly the same. Oh, hang on a minute. We good? Yeah. Thursday's exactly the same. And on Friday, the security guard is fed up now. And when the guy comes through with his barrow, he says, right, stop there. He says, I am not going to look in the box today. He says, but I know you're doing something wrong. I am a security guard, and I know there's something wrong. He says, so I'm not going to report you if you tell me what it is you're doing. He goes, all right, I'll tell you. I'm stealing wheelbarrows. Part that thought. Now, I want you to imagine that you and I are first century Galileans. And I'm working on my farm, and you're trying to persuade me to go up the hill and listen to a new teacher. And I'm saying to you, for goodness sake, I've got taxes to pay. I've got mouths to feed. I've got children to clothe. I just can't stop working and go up with you willy-nilly like that. But you are very persuasive, aren't you? And I find myself in this big crowd sat in the middle. And Jesus of Nazareth is talking. But it's weird because it's like he's talking directly to me. And he's saying, don't worry about tomorrow all the time. For goodness sake, look at the birds. You know, they don't harvest for themselves, do they? Look how well they're fed. Look at the wild flowers. And see how well they're dressed. Look at those beautiful lilies. If God looks after the birds and the wild flowers, how much more will he look after you? I'm thinking, me? And he said, what you need to do is seek first God's kingdom and righteous living, and all these things will be taken care of, all your worries. So we go back from this talk and we talk over a fish supper. How do I, as a Galilean farmer, put first the kingdom of God? What does that even look like in my life? And then, can I really trust God with all my worries and all my cares? These are the questions I'm asking you. Now, 2,000 years on, in a completely different culture, the question is as relevant, isn't it? How do I seek after the kingdom of God, and can I really trust God with all my worries? You know, can I do that? Right. So, what does the kingdom of God look like? Now, people from outside the church, what are the things they hear most, like in the press and they see? It's women priests, homosexuality, abortion, Big Bang versus creation, and perhaps, can I put a pig's heart in a human? You know, these are the things that people are hearing, aren't they? But actually, this is sawdust. These are the small packages. I'm not saying they're not of any importance, but people see that and hear that, and often they get put off the church. You know, what is the fundamentals, you know, that they're missing? What is the wheelbarrow, if you like, that moves everything forward? You know, what are those? Because I think we need to ask that if we're going to look at the kingdom of God, because it's not the sawdust, is it? That's not the kingdom of God. So let's take it right back to basics, yeah? Jesus came from heaven and died for you and me, yeah? You know, he lived 33 years, probably did 3 years of wonderful ministry, good talks like the Sermon on the Mount that we're quoting from, miracles, but eventually he was lifted up by those that didn't like him and killed. And he had a crown of thorns on, and he's become the king of the kingdom of God. You know, every kingdom needs a king, doesn't it? And we've got King Jesus. And when he died on that cross, then because of his sinlessness, because of his purity, when his spirit is bled and died, his sacrifice meant that we could all be forgiven. And that all the things we've done wrong can be forgiven and we can be set free if we accept his forgiveness. We know that, don't we? So the most important moment in history. But what else happened at that moment when Jesus died, which was of equal importance? What do you think happened? Okay, so God's, the barrier between man and God was taken away. And symbolically, as we said, the curtain in the temple, which separated supposedly where the presence of God was from people, was torn miraculously in two. And a symbol of what happened in heaven. So from now on, it meant that people could come directly into God's presence. Yeah? But why? You know, why could we do that? Because of the death of Jesus. Because what happens is that when we accept what Jesus has done for us, then his sacrifice washes us and makes us a different person. The Bible says, you know, the old is gone, the new has come, we are a new creation. You're familiar with that, aren't we? So we become a new creation. But becoming a new creation, we have a new identity in God. This is not an identity that others put on you or you put on yourself. But this is an identity that God has given you. Yeah? And you cannot take this identity. We've all have this identity, an identity that God has given us. So let's look at that identity. We're seeking first the kingdom of God. If we're seeking first the kingdom of God, it's important to know what our identity is in that kingdom. So first thing, he says that if you accept him, you now become a son or daughter of the King of Kings. Right? You're adopted into God's family. So if you're a daughter of the King of Kings, what does that make you? Or a son? Makes you a prince or princess, doesn't it? Have a look around at the royalty in the house today. Yeah? And as a child of God, you inherit the kingdom of God. Because it's part of your inheritance, it's part of God. Yeah. So you've got the riches of heaven. Your riches of heaven. Okay. All right. We'll stick with it. Where was I? Okay. Remind me. So we're inheriting God's kingdom. Yeah, aren't we? We're a child of God. But what else? That's part of our identity. But what else is our identity? He says you're now a temple of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? It means that God doesn't live in a temple anymore. He lives in you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. Yeah? That's quite a thought, isn't it? That you take God with you wherever you go. So you've got to look after yourself and what goes in, yeah? Temple of the Holy Spirit. What else does he say? He says, actually, you're a priest now. Because we don't need priests anymore to intermediate, do we? We can go directly into God's presence. So it means that now you can do what a priest did. You can go directly to God and pray to him. You can sacrifice things to him directly. But also you can bless people. If you pray God's favour on someone, you bless them, and God will add to that blessing. If you don't do it, he won't do it. I was once in Macedonia after one of our conferences. I had a line of people wanting to pray for healing, mainly. And it took me nearly 2 hours to get through everybody. And right at the end, there was a man, almost everyone had gone home, and he was still waiting. He was the last one I prayed for, and I thought, wow, you must have something really bad to wait that long. I said, what can Jesus do for you? He said, I want a blessing. You know, boy, did we give him a blessing. It's powerful stuff. Jesus says, you're a priest. He also says, you're an ambassador, which means you're now his mouthpiece. You represent the kingdom of God. You're putting the best foot forward. So when people hear what you're saying, is it the sawdust they're hearing? Or is it the real fundamentals, what you should be passionate about? He also says that you're the light in the darkness. So you're not only his mouthpiece, but now where you go, what you do is God's work. And you will shine up in a place. You will bring light into the darkness. See, he's not here anymore, is he, Jesus? So you are his now, you are his hands and his feet. And the last one I want to say is that he says you're a warrior. So you're pushing back the boundaries of the kingdom of God for him. You're fighting his fight on earth. This is your identity. Do you see that? You know, you may not feel that at all. When you become a Christian, you look exactly the same. And you might even feel much the same and bring your own habits with you. But as far as God's concerned, you are a new creation, and this is your identity in the kingdom of God. And this is what you need to be living out in the kingdom of God, yeah? But it's not, so it's not just understanding it, it's also trying to live it. I like a cartoon from Farside where it was Superman, who's got older, he's about my age now, and he's watching telly with a bit of a beer belly, and he's got a string vest on, and his wife is sat behind embroidering his Superman shirt, you know, the one with the big S. But she's actually, not unknown to him, she's put extra letters on it, so it now spells stupid. And I like that, because Superman is still Superman. That's his identity. But if he is sat there binge-watching box sets, he's not out saving people, is he? Which is stupid. You know, and yet, when we know who we are in Jesus, not to live it out is stupid. It's like our politicians, if they say one thing and do another thing, they just come across as stupid, don't they? You know, so we need to be living out our faith. There was a Russian guy, a Christian, who was, during the communist times, he was taken prisoner and spent many years in concentration camps and labor camps. And afterwards, he was completely at peace with God and with his captors. And he said, look, there's two types of Christian. There are those who believe in God, and there are those with the same conviction who believe that they believe in God. And it's only when they have difficult decisions to make that you know which is which. Yeah. Now any football supporters here? One or two? Okay, so I used to stand on the terraces as a young boy at Eastfield, Bristol. I used to sing, Bristol Rovers, we'll support you evermore, evermore, like that. And it was easy in those days because we had a good team, we had lots of good strikers, we got promoted, and it was great fun. In the decades since, I've seen them sack 33 managers and be relegated 6 times, including last season. And sometimes it's not been much fun. It's been hard work, but I've stuck with it. Now, Bill Shankly, the old Liverpool manager, said that some people say football is a matter of life or death. I say it's far more serious than that. Of course it's not, is it? It's just 22 people kicking a football around. But at the same time, as a young man, I made a commitment to Jesus. And I said, I will support you evermore. And in the early days, it was quite easy, because it was successful and everything went well for me. But there's been times since where it's been really hard. I've had false accusations. I felt like I'm in a valley. And I felt that no one's with me. No one loves me, you know. And it's through those times that God comes with you. And you push through those valleys. And he takes you to another peak before your next valley. And you know he's faithful if you make those decisions to keep on following him. But you see, seeking after the kingdom of God, it's not just a once-off thing. I seek, I find. Who likes playing hide-and-seek? Yeah. Okay, so hide-and-seek works, doesn't it? If a person is hidden, not just straight in front of you, so it takes some effort, but also if they don't hide too well, so they've got to be found. Now, my son, who's a little bit older than you two boys, he's at university, and last term, he put on the student website, anybody who wants to play hide and seek with me, be at campus building, 7-story campus building, at 10:30 p.m. All right. He went to see if anyone turned up. 60 students turned up. And they played hide and seek in the derivative of pilchers till 1 o'clock in the morning, 2.5 hours of hide and seek. And he said it was absolutely amazing fun. All right. Now, Jesus used to hide some of the truths in parables. It took some work to get out there. Yeah. And a lot of God's truths is a bit of a mystery, but they're there to be found. So you seek, you find, and you go on. You don't just do it once, do you, if you're playing hide and seek. You seek, you find, you seek, you find. And it's like that in our Christians' lives. We carry on seeking, we carry on finding. Even if they're difficult to find, we keep on going, don't we? Until we're blessed by that. You know, we're in this for the long game. Now, Paul, he was encouraging the Philippian church that keep going, guys, keep going, because the Lord your Jesus is with you. And when we think of the Apostle Paul, what do we think of? Someone that's, oh, he had a hard time, he was shipwrecked, he was imprisoned, he was stoned. But what an amazing life he had as well. You know, he did all that travelling, he had all those adventures, he saw churches planted and grown, he saw many miracles. It must have been, like my son said, amazing fun, as well as all the hardships he goes through. So that's what we're doing. We're seeking out the kingdom of God. We're understanding our identity in God. We're living that identity, and we're pushing through the hard times, because our identity doesn't change in him. But the second question was, can I trust God? You know, I can do this with his help only. I can go through the long term with him. But can I trust him with all my worries and with all my anxieties? Now, I don't know what you as individuals are carrying, but I know in this room there are fears, there are stresses, and there are anxieties going into this new period. Am I right? You're carrying those. Can you trust those to God? Can you? Let me tell you this. You say, well, is God good enough? Yes, he's good. The definition of God is good. Can I trust him? Is he faithful to me? Yes. He said he will be with you and never leave you. Is he reliable? Yes, he's the same yesterday, today and forever. But more than that, church, more than that, he knows you and understands you more than you know yourself. He loves you more than you love yourself, yeah? And he wants the best for you. And as we step forward into this new year as children of God, yeah, we can do so with confidence. We can do so with our chins lifted high, because if we have fear, we know he will protect us from that. You know, he's got an army of angels that he can send if he needed to protect you. You know, we don't need to fear. God is with you. Will he provide for us? That he knows what our needs are. He's got the whole storehouse of heaven for you. So you can trust God as you seek out the kingdom of God. You can trust him with those worries. If you've got anxieties and stresses, you can ask for the peace of God to come on you. I've seen the peace of God come on people and break off so many things off their lives. And even afterwards, their faces have changed. They look younger because all our anxieties have fallen off as the peace of God just breaks through it all. He's there to help you, to be with you, to serve you, to love you. So I want to read, just finish with this poem. It's through Haskins. I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That will be better than light and safer than a known way. So I went forth, and finding the hand of God, I trod gladly into the night, and he led me on towards the hills and the breaking of the day. I want to say, church, that Jesus saying Tuesday, seek first the kingdom of God and all of its righteousness, and you don't need to worry about tomorrow. You can lift your head up, knowing that God is with you, that he is protecting you, that he will. So keep seeking, keep finding, keep living, keep sharing, and go with the peace of God into your future. He's with you always and will never leave you. Amen. Amen. Amen, church. Thank you.